So you may have had a chance to live your dream life once, but how many people get two shots at that? Well, I'm one of them, and I'm going to share that story with you coming right up. So saddle up. It's time for 8 Second Rule. This is 8 Second Rule, the podcast about attention-based marketing where we talk about getting, holding on to, and developing the attention of your ideal audience. You've got 8 seconds. What are you going to do with it? Hey, I am Mark R. Morris Jr., the bull rider of semantic branding. And what that means basically is I'm a copywriter and a branding guy and a marketing guy and a coach, all kind of rolled into one. And I can help you build your brand through words because it is the most powerful tool on social media, on search, on the internet. And I'm going to explain that in an episode coming up after I finish my story. But I've got like 6 more episodes of this to go, so you'll have to be patient. I am going to reveal all, I promise. So today I'm going to tell you about the time that I got a second chance to actually run my theater company and how that turned out for me. So are you ready? Here we go. So if you recall the last time that we left our intrepid hero, me, I'm the intrepid hero, I was having to build fences for a living because things were tough and I'd had to shut down my theater company because someone had come in and taken my students. So I thought that that was over and business was going pretty good. I'd started refining my approach. Instead of the flyers, I was using a Craigslist ad, which at the time was great. Don't try it now. I had past pictures of the projects that I had done, and I shared those to get more carpentry and home improvement customers. It was working great. And by this point, I was up to 40 or 50 an hour on most projects. I'd gained a good reputation as a door hanger, which pays really well. Usually about $250 for an hour and a half to install an exterior door. And if I could have gotten enough work doing just that, I probably would have just gone into that. But I think you have to advertise it in a specific way. I've never actually tried. But I was still hurting. I'd been in theater, if you recall, since the age of 14. And now I was here in my 30s and really missing my opening nights, my audiences, my actors, the whole ball of string. So my wife suggested I go and audition to act for local companies, but after directing your own productions, that just doesn't feel the same, at least not for some of us. I was still building some scenery for a few clients, which was great. I got to build a set for a television show involving puppets, which was really fun. It got pitched to Disney, and they liked my designs, guys. That was what was fun there. It didn't get picked up, but it was nice to hear that. I was on one of these projects with a good friend, and he suggested I should look for my own performing space. So the biggest reason my business had been unsustainable was the 5-figure expense of renting out a hall several times a year because it's just outrageously pricey. It had gotten so expensive, it had just eaten all my profits and then some. So I had dreamed about this for a long time, for certain. In reality, I'd done quite a bit more than that. If you listened to the last episode of my show, I talked about having a secret weapon hidden in a drawer. Well, I'm going to tell you all about it. I had sat down and figured out exactly what I would want to do with my business if I had the opportunity to do anything. And I'd even looked at what it would take to bring on investors and buy my own theater. In fact, I'd gone to this guy who's an entrepreneurial expert of sorts, who'd been a fan of my work, and he'd coached me through the business plan writing process. I had it all mapped out. I really did. It was a good plan. I took it to the Oklahoma Center for Nonprofits, an attorney there that looked it over, and she said, "My gosh, you should write business plans for people." I needed performance space, enough to put on small musicals and stage plays. I needed separate rehearsal space so that one production could be in performance while another was being prepared. Because typically, when a show is in performance, there are so many props and set pieces and costuming and all that stuff that gets moved into the dressing rooms and the backstage areas that you can't really rehearse another show there at the same time. So you need to have studio space to actually rehearse your next production. And that way I could just keep them cycling a little bit faster. I needed costume and scenery shop space to build the pieces, and that needed to be separate from my rehearsal hall because in my former studio, everything had been in one big 40 by 40 room, and it made it very hard to make it work because every time you needed to rehearse, you had to clean the place from top to bottom. And if you've ever worked on a carpentry project or a home remodel, you know there are sometimes when you need to leave your mess, and I couldn't ever do that. I also knew that I wanted a high traffic location. My former studio was in this little industrial park that was off of a main road, but no one ever found it unless they were looking for it. Unless they knew it was there, they just would never even suspect. So this is the secret weapon in my desk drawer that I mentioned in that last episode. It was a printed copy of my business plan. I'd researched my market. I'd laid out a step-by-step plan. I had it checked over by the state nonprofit foundation. I'd shown it to potential investors. This plan was solid. Everybody who looked at it said, this is a good plan. I kept it there until the very end of the first studio. But unfortunately, in my anger and frustration, my disappointment caused me to toss it out. I wish I still had it to tell this story from, but I don't. But here's the thing about making plans, guys. They really are magic, okay? If you write them down and you share them, it really changes things in the universe. I'm not joking, okay? I've experienced this more than once, but what I experienced next was what was really the most amazing thing. About 2 months later, after my first studio was shut down, something unexpected happened. The same family members who'd originally put up the money to buy the studio, they came to us and they said, without us ever asking, we thought we were done, we should find a building to buy. It turns out they believed in what we were doing and they wanted to help. Well, this was really exciting because the studio had been more mission than business to me. Okay. It just felt like that was my life work. At this point, there's a few points I should share about what this business was. Okay. We taught musical theater to kids from 8 to 18. We took everyone who wanted to be a part and we offered scholarships to any kid whose parents could not, would not, did not want to pay in the form of a work for trade. So hour for hour at a discounted tuition rate, they could come and help out with things and get into our classes. They do things like taking out the trash, selling tickets for shows they weren't in, helping run summer camps, being backstage. We did nothing but family-friendly productions, and we worked very hard to keep a very positive and nurturing environment because theater arts can be extremely harsh on young people. We didn't promote a star attitude. We didn't allow any sort of bullying. It was unique in our market because of the quality of our productions and the fact that we cast everyone who walked through the doors was always a surprise to people because we had grown adults who would buy season tickets with us and come and see our shows and really, really liked them. We got good reviews in the newspapers and stuff. It was pretty amazing. This was not your typical school play. I've always believed that anyone can learn to act, okay, to the best of their ability if they have the drive and the right teacher. That's very important. And guys, this is true for most things in life. You can learn what you want to learn if you have the drive and the right teacher. All right, I'm going to share more in just a minute. So this theater company was different because we were inclusive and we were diverse before those became buzzwords. It was intentional. We did it on purpose. We wanted to include as many people from the community as we could. And we'd even started a community theater that had adult actors doing productions before I lost the first studio. So we started looking for a building. I don't know what everyone else who's listening believes, but in my world, I believe that the universe talks to me. I call it God. I'm not peddling a religion. Okay. But whatever it was, I felt very strongly there was a place in the zip code that my house resided in that would serve as a theater and studio. I just had this, this feeling. I couldn't shake it. I'd searched several times before when things were going well and we had considered making expansion. I hadn't found anything. But this time was different. We finally found a spot. It was big enough and it was going up for auction soon, and it sat right on the busiest street in our zip code. In short, it was almost perfect, except that none of the space inside would work for us at all. It was two blocks from my house, guys. It was this little storefront. And we took our family members there who were buying it for us. We went to the auction. And despite having set a maximum bid, our angel investor put in the winning bid for more than they had suggested. It exceeded that by a good bit, but it was still cheaper than any other space we could have found that large. And then we had 6 weeks to resurrect our business, because if we couldn't get a season up and running for the fall, this was in the summer, it was going to be really tough for us to survive the winter. So to hit the start date that we'd always had, I had exactly 6 weeks to prep the space and send out notices to enroll students. Challenge accepted. The building was in terrible condition. But remember, I'd been working as a home repair contractor for half a decade by now, and I was ready. So we had a small budget represented by a generous Lowe's account that we would pay back once we began collecting tuition, and I drew up a floor plan. It was including two large studio rooms for rehearsal, a performance space that would seat approximately 175 people, a costume and prop storage area, a large scenic shop with access to the stage, and a big overhead door in the back of the building for scene changes. And since classes weren't going to start, we're going to start in 6 weeks, I had to have the rehearsal space first. Okay, we didn't have a production ready to go onto the stage, so I didn't need to worry as much about the performance space when I started. So I mapped out the studios and I dug into my reference books to learn how to frame walls to code, how to finish drywall, a skill I had always hired somebody to do because I was afraid of messing it up. It turned out it wasn't that hard, but you know, sometimes things intimidate you. For those who've done it, I naively chose a smooth finish thinking that would be easier. But the thing is, once I learned to do that, everything in drywall was easy after that. We managed to get the rehearsal spaces and a second bathroom done just before we started class. So we opened up about 30 students, just enough to pay the rent and utilities, but essentially no paycheck for me. So I had to keep swinging a hammer to keep the lights on at home, which, like I said, was just two easily walkable blocks away. In the process of construction, what I like to call Providence surprised us more than once. We thought we were going to have to completely reconfigure our HVAC. But then we looked and realized that my floor plan accidentally lined up with the existing vents perfectly. I hadn't even taken it into consideration. We needed a side stage door for actors to enter and exit off of the performance space. So we looked at the wall and we found that between the two sides of the building, there had already been a door exactly where we needed it. And all we had to do was open it back up. I mean, what are the odds of that, right? When we needed theater seating, an AMC theater that had been up for sale for years finally sold, and they auctioned off their chairs for about $3 a piece. We were, in fact, the only ones bidding on them, and that's because everyone else thought they were moldy. But what I knew was the truth, which was kids had gotten into the building and used paintball guns that left a residue that was easy to remove. I was the only one that figured that out because myself and a friend of mine had gone to look at this building and consider it as a space. And we'd actually managed to get in because someone had left a door open. So we snuck in there with our cell phone lights and kind of wandered around and saw all the paintball marks. And so I knew what this was before we even got there. There were a lot of other providential things in our business before it was over. We finished the stage the night before our first performance. I was up until like 6 a.m. doing it. We found restaurant booths at another auction for almost nothing, for our concession stand, a snack bar, and student break area. We got free stage lighting from an old friend of mine that I'd done productions with in the past. He had old stuff that he really didn't use much anymore. Listen, guys, it is a powerful thing to believe that the universe is on your side. But unfortunately, what I thought that meant was that I couldn't screw it up, that it was bulletproof. And as you'll see in the next part of my story, that was absolutely untrue. So, I've now shared with you how I started a carpentry business with no money, how I got into the theater business with an angel investor, how I came to own my own space. And I just want to encourage you a little bit at the end of this episode here. If you're in a position to take a chance on your dreams, you should do it. But here are some things that I learned in the process of all this, okay? First, if you approach the world with confidence, gratitude, and a little bit of humility, doors open that you didn't even know were there. Like surprising things. People offer to do things for you that you would never have asked for. People that you thought, you know, of as friends or whatever, but you didn't know they were on your side, will step up and do things for you. It's really amazing, but you need all three of those: confidence, gratitude, and humility, because it's a powerful, powerful elixir, guys. If you can get those established, you can do well. If you're unafraid to try new things and learn new things on the fly, you'll be more nimble than the competition. Okay? So there were times when I got paid to learn new things. And I've explained this in some of my other podcast episodes, some of my posts on LinkedIn, but you know, there were times when, like for that fence, I told you that story in the first episode of this little series here, is that, you know, the night before I went and bought a book and I studied to know, okay, can I pitch this guy on a fence or not? Do I know how to price it? Do I know how to do this thing? And so I came to him with the knowledge that I had learned from a book plus my carpentry experience. What I was doing was less difficult technically than what I'd been doing. It was more grueling physically. But if you can learn to do that, it's going to put you way ahead. So if you're looking at your resume and you think that education and experience are like the enchilada, right? Hard work and determination beat education and experience in many, many cases. Okay. Now, okay. You can't hire a brain surgeon based on hard work and determination, right? But it's just something that if you can get into the swing of it, of actually trying things and keeping with it and getting back up more times than you fall down, you really can learn to do some amazing, amazing things. Okay. And if you're not afraid to try, you might surprise yourself at what you can do. All right. Now, me, I have always been super bold. I fly without a net. I don't care. If I crash and burn, I'll get back up. I'll figure it out. I've done it over and over and over again. And it's just a matter of, I don't know, believing that there's a space for me somewhere and that I'm going to find it. So, I've said before that my experience at running a real business had been a failure, but it wasn't all bad. Okay. We managed to run a for-profit theater in Oklahoma City for 7 years. And that is a city, I mean, I still live here. It's a city that is welcoming to the arts to a certain extent, but very compartmentalized. So every single theater company in this town is very protective of their space, of their actors, of the work that they do. I was even called up when I tried to start a theater company and told by another director that I should just contribute my skills and talents to a theater company that already existed, because who was I to be starting another theater company in this world? Well, I'd already built my own space. So I told her where she could get off, because I didn't care. You know, I was like, that's not what I want to do. That's not why I'm here. And I managed to make it work for 7 years. So I'm going to tell you what happened next in the next part of my story. And if any of this rings true to you and you would like to leave a comment, please just sign on to Anchor. There's a place where you can leave a voice message there and the mobile app. I'd love to hear it. Also, you can reach me on LinkedIn at markrmorrisjr.com, or you can email me anytime at 8secondrule. That's the number 8secondrule@gmail.com. And if there's anything I can do to help you with your semantic branding, with website copy, with LinkedIn profile stuff, coaching you in your business, helping you figure out what your brand or your message is, please contact me. I want to do that with you. Yes, I do offer paid services, but I also do offer a lot of free advice. So don't be afraid to contact me and see if I can help. All right. Have a great day, guys. So today's free tool is Stripe. I'm in a situation with my PayPal account where they've made some mistakes and they're trying to straighten it out. But right now, I can't really use it. So I'm waiting for them to clear that up. And while I am, I'm billing my clients through Stripe. Takes a little bit longer to get to my bank account, but it's completely secure and they offer a lot of options like invoicing and things of that nature. I may be telling you about another payment service in the next episode, but for right now, stripe.com is one that you can look at. It has a lot of great features. It will allow you to even set up products inside it so that it has pricing available when your clients come there. So you can just take a look and see if it's a good fit for you. I hope that it will be. If you process over $5,000 in payments and everything goes well, and you've been with them for 18 months, then what they will do is actually set you up so that you can move things to a debit card instantly. So as soon as you get paid, you get paid. And that's a really nice feature to have. All right, guys, that's it for now. That's it for 8-second rule in this episode. And I want you to be thinking about the 8 seconds, guys. The first 8 seconds of whatever you put out, is it good? Is it catching attention? Is it like that bull rider? Can it keep the audience on top long enough for them to invest so that they come to you and actually work with you and buy your products and services? All right, guys, have a great day.